It is my pleasure to introduce today's speaker, Joan Dentler. She's the founder of Avanza Healthcare Strategies, which is an ambulatory surgery center and healthcare advisory firm supporting leading healthcare organizations in planning, developing, and operating their ASCs and outpatient strategies. Please join me in welcoming Joan Dentler.
So do I need to use this? Yes. Yes, I do.
Just make sure you don't touch this. It only gets on like static. Oh,
okay. Got it. Okay. All right. Hi, good afternoon, y'all. And I know it's been a long day, and there's nothing like being the last session of the day before a pool party. So we'll get you out of here maybe even a little bit early, depending on the questions that you all happen to have. Let me just take a minute and go through sort of the obligatory slides. All right, I'm pushing it. What am I doing wrong?
There. I might just need to get restarted real quick. Let me see.
Oh. There you go.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. So I think most of you know what we're going to talk about today, which is taking an HOPD that you may have on campus and converting it to an ASC and some of the pitfalls that we've seen. Let me just take 1 second and explain a little bit about Avanza and what we do. I founded the company over 25 years ago. We are advisors primarily to hospitals and health systems around outpatient surgery. We're not a management company. We don't own surgery centers. We are strictly a fee-for-service consultancy and advisory firm. So because of that length of time, frankly, I've seen a lot in the development of ASCs throughout the years. And this whole issue of converting HOPDs is one of the things that we are seeing more and more now, and we can explain a little bit about why that is. Still not working. Oop. Opposite way. Okay. The learning objectives that you have to have. Yeah, see? It's...
Yeah, it's the little dongle, I think. Let me try to switch sides.
Okay. So part of this is, you know who I am, so I want to know just a little bit about who you all are, just so that we can kind of focus the presentation accordingly. First of all, how many of you who are here represent a hospital outpatient department that you think functions like an ASC but is not an ASC? Okay, figured. How many are you with a hospital that has at least one ASC? Okay, and then more than one? No ASCs? Okay, maybe that's why you're here, because you're considering this. And then any of you just representing an ambulatory surgery center, not a hospital? Could be a hospital-owned ambulatory surgery center, but, and then other people who may be here, vendors, etc. So, got it. All right, that helps me know that it's kind of a mixed bag in here. But I also know you're a pretty smart audience, because we do these kinds of conversations a lot and people don't know what the initials HOPD stand for. So at least we've got that going for us. Let me just start by saying this is super important as far as I'm concerned, because hospitals, so ambulatory surgery centers began in the 60s. A lot of people don't realize they've been around that long. And then we went back and we looked, and if you look around the early 80s, a lot of hospitals were starting to feel very threatened by ambulatory surgery centers. They weren't ready to take that cut in reimbursement yet and build a surgery center, so many of them decided to build these, what I call sort of pseudo-surgery centers. They would call them a surgery center. They would put them in a separate space by the campus, but they weren't an ambulatory surgery center. They remained a hospital outpatient department. And where I think one thing it gets confusing to people is to really understand, and I'm not going to read the whole definition, those are provider-based entities as opposed to what Medicare calls a freestanding ambulatory surgery center. The freestanding is what, that word is what confuses people a lot of times, because the building does not have to be freestanding. The building can be connected to a hospital or even inside of a hospital, but Medicare definition is either provider-based, which is HOPD, gets HOPD rates, or freestanding ambulatory surgery center, which gets freestanding ASC rates. So I usually, when I'm talking to clients, make them use the term provider-based as opposed to HOPD, just to make sure that everybody's really clear about what we're talking about. These are the main areas, and we're going to talk about each one of these in a little bit of detail of what makes the difference between these two. The location, obviously, but the location doesn't matter when it's an ASC. It does matter when it's a provider-based HOPD. And those of you who work within the hospital system, you understand that difference. The either the amount of miles or feet you are away from the hospital has to do with whether you can actually bill provider-based or not. An ambulatory surgery center can be anywhere. So those are the differences about location. Reimbursement, obviously, ASCs get about 50% of the reimbursement of a hospital. Same case, same doctor, sometimes same building, and 50% less reimbursement. The licensure, obviously, almost every state, only two or three that I know of, do not have an ASC licensure process, but most states have a separate, whether they call it a freestanding outpatient surgery center, a freestanding ambulatory surgery center, or just an ambulatory surgery center. Every state, except for three that I know of, do have a separate licensure you have to go through. Accreditation, obviously, both Joint Commission, AAA, and all the other miscellaneous accrediting bodies also have different accreditation standards for each. The next bullet to me is the most important and the one that we'll probably maybe spend the most time talking about. That's the culture and operations of the two. Again, same doctors, same procedures, sometimes even same patients, but the culture has to be different and they have to be run differently. The ownership, doctors cannot own in a hospital. They used to be able to own in hospitals, but now if it's a hospital outpatient department, you can't have physician ownership in that entity. It's the whole hospital exception. And then governance is different, staffing is different, and how the supplies are usually purchased and stored and kept and everything like that is usually different from an ASC. It's much more just in time. So we're gonna hit most of these topics really quickly. First of all, this I think most of you already know, the contributing factors as to why these conversions are on the rise right now. We're seeing the need to grow more outpatient capacity, and if you have a HOPD where you're charging full hospital rates versus an ASC down the street, many patients will choose the ASC over the hospital outpatient department if their doctor will work in both facilities. So we're seeing that we're trying to keep those cases, and hospitals are trying to convert their hospital outpatient departments as opposed to losing the cases. The value-based strategy, jumping all the way to the last bullet there, and the fact that many of the hospitals and health systems we work with are looking at ways to reduce the overall cost of care, and therefore having an ASC in their portfolio makes a huge difference. And then converting rather than building a de novo ASC, most people think this is going to be speed to market and possibly less expensive. And you're going to see that might be the case and it might not be the case. And yep, stop me at any point if any of you have a question as we go forward. This slide, actually, I don't even think we need to go through this. I think all of you who you work in this industry understand this. The reasons why the health systems want to develop an ASC. And that last bullet is something that we are seeing more and more, which is every hospital health system in the country really needs to have access, if not ownership in, access to at least one ASC in its portfolio. That's both because of payer demand and patient demand, not to mention physician. And by the way, we saw this really increase after COVID, and you know, a lot of that did have to do with the whole idea of the infection control and not having well patients in the same building with sick patients. So we saw a huge jump in the number of ASCs after COVID. So this doesn't make sense to convert. One is the procedures that you're doing in the HOPD right now, are those even appropriate for an ASC? Are you doing rather sick patients in that facility? Are you able to just make this just for healthy patients? Is that going to work in your situation? Will the reduction, the 50% reduction in reimbursement, once you change this to an ASC, will you still be able to have any kind of profit margin? If you're using robotics in the center, if you've overbuilt the center, which is what we see a lot of times, you just can't make the numbers work at a 50% cut in reimbursement. And then the many, many groups that we deal with, they're having so much reduction in their HOPD reimbursement that it doesn't even make sense anymore to do those at an HOPD rate because they're almost getting an ASC rate. So these are the kind of things you need to be looking at. But the last bullet is the most important, which is, is your organization ready to operate this as an ASC as opposed to an HOPD? You know, we sort of joke with people that just because you put those three initials on the outside of the building, that doesn't make it an ASC. And it's amazing to me the amount of hospital executives that don't really understand that. So the initial steps when you're looking at doing a conversion, if you have a facility, is setting up a hospital. And we also say, even if this is going to be 100% owned by the hospital, involving the surgeons in the planning process really is important. If they aren't happy with what you're doing, if this isn't being done in a way that is going to benefit them, they are really not going to use it, and it will defeat the whole purpose of doing it. So setting up a steering committee early in the process to talk through what you're talking about doing is the best first step. And then to evaluate the facility on the ability to convert it. And we'll talk about this a little bit more on a subsequent slide, but this is the first step and the most important first step, which is, can that building even be converted? To develop financial projections and making sure that you incorporate all of the costs in the current HOPD that you plan to move over to the ASC when you're developing your pro forma for your ASC. Is it going to be profitable, or is this just going to be a break even, or is it going to be a money loser at the new reimbursement rate? It's amazing to me the number of clients that we have that once they run the numbers, they just decide not to move forward at all because they cannot make it work financially. The steering committee that we talked about, you know, putting together, this is one reason this is important, is if you do decide that you are going to partner with physicians in this. Once it's an ASC and the physicians are able to partner in it, it's really important that they have been there from the get-go so they can see why certain decisions are the way they are and why you're doing things in the order of which you're doing them. So to bring that hospital physician group together and making sure that they work with you to develop all the operating agreements and other documents that you will need for a partnership is important. Most of the time, though, the hospitals that we work with, the hospital may own the ASC 100% to start off with, let it get up, operational, running, and then invite physicians in as investors. So there's no reason the physician investors must be investors day one. They can come in down the road. And then we always recommend that you always use outside counsel to be your facilitator of this process, not your in-house counsel, because if you do involve physicians, it's really important that everybody feels that the attorneys involved have the best interests of the partnership. And same with the if you do use an outside facilitator, manager, advisor like us, is that having somebody who doesn't come from the hospital a lot of times can really help the process along, as opposed to it looking like it's just a hospital project. The legal construction of this new co-partnership usually is an LLC. This again, even if it's 100% hospital owned, if it's an ASC that's going to be 100% hospital owned, and you want it to be for profit as opposed to not for profit, it's going to need to be another legal entity as opposed to the hospital. Maybe a subsidiary of the hospital, maybe it's one of its for-profit subsidiaries, but it makes it a lot easier if you have that all set up in the beginning, so that the physicians, if they do decide they want to partner with you, can just join into that LLC. If there are physicians involved, the equity split is probably your biggest issue you're going to have to deal with. Who owns the majority? Who owns the minority? Is it going to be a 50-50 ownership? I will tell you, this is one of those things that I've seen sort of evolve in the years of working in this industry. Initially, when I started back in the late 90s, it was mainly 51% hospital, 49% physicians. Then it flipped, and it was the physicians were majority, hospital was minority for many years. Now we're back to seeing the hospital having the majority, physicians having minority. And typically now that's to get the payer contracts that the payer contracting terms that the hospital has and the vendor terms that the hospital has. So there is no magic bullet of 51-49. I've had centers where the doctors own 70% and the hospital owns 30. I've had it vice versa. So there is no legal reason even that a not-for-profit hospital needs to own 51%. The other issues that we typically go through when you're getting ready to set these up have to do with the same things that you would see in a de novo ASC, which is, can the physicians invest as a practice, or do the physicians have to invest individually? What type of restrictive covenants does the hospital impose on the doctors? And also, we've seen doctors impose restrictive covenants on the hospital partner as well, where the hospital can't develop another ASC without involving these same doctors in the second ASC. So we've seen restrictive covenants work both ways. Divestiture triggers of when people have to divest, and then always making sure that you have a good idea of what your buy-in, buy-out formulas are going to be. Any questions about any of these? This is what I was saying earlier about sometimes people just think, well, we'll just change that to an ASC. Yes, we know we're going to get lower reimbursement, but it won't change the way we're operating. These are the things that we always like to bring up, and that is to remember that it is an ASC. It's not a department of the hospital. That typically you are going to only see healthy patients, These are going to be non-urgent, non-emergent cases. And that's important from the standpoint of we don't need, as you'll see in one of those other bullets, we don't need the redundancy that you need in the hospital. We don't need to have backup of every piece of equipment. We just postpone cases for a day. None of these cases can, you know, are so urgent that we have to do them that same day. Yes, it's uncomfortable and it's inconvenient and it's not a customer satisfier, but that's how ASCs are profitable. Organization, these run like a small business. They don't run like a hospital. And one of the examples of that I have told people are things like your IT services. Typically, for ASCs, that even if they're owned by the hospital, they'll use IT, they'll have IT support services, more like a geek squad or something like that, as opposed to a big IT department. You don't need all of that. The clinical staff, now this could be a real hot button issue, but when you're converting an HOPD to an ASC, typically the ASC is going to require a lot fewer staff, because you do have people that are cross-trained. And so not all the staff is going to be needed in the ASC. So how are you going to handle that? I mean, there's several different ways you can handle it, but it's we all know it's a political football here. If we're going to be able to, you know, staff an ASC with 25 people versus the 55 that we staffed it with when it was an HOPD, what happens to those additional, to those extra people? If they are just absorbed by the hospital in other roles, which is what typically happens, that doesn't necessarily help with lowering the overall cost of care. So just keep that in mind. The IT applications and vendors, like I was just saying, I know Epic is here and that's great. I saw their booth. Most ASCs can operate on a much less horsepower than Epic. And I know Epic has talked, and I don't know, do we have any Epic representatives in here by any chance? Because I'm probably not their biggest fan. They keep talking about having an Epic ASC module. They've been talking about that for 10 years, so I have yet to see it. But I will tell you right now, our health systems that use Epic in their ASCs generally are not as nimble as those that don't. I guess that's the most polite way I can say it. It's way more than what you need for a typical ASC. And then budgeting. It's lean. It's deliberate. It's very just in time. We always like to include this slide in any presentation that we're doing with hospitals having to do with ASCs, and that is there's a lot of misunderstandings out there. ASC joint ventures do not collect hospital outpatient department rates, even reimbursement rates, even if the hospital owns 51%. I think everybody should know that now, by now, but there was a lot of misinformation about that initially when people started doing these conversions of HOPDs. They would convert them, the doctors would assume that they were going to partner and then get hospital rates for their cases, and that is not the case. There is no regulation that prohibits employed physicians as owners in an ASC. Now, your health system may choose not to allow its employed physicians to invest in ASCs, but there is no regulation. That is a decision that each health system has to make on its own. And we do a survey every year of hospitals and health systems. We're getting ready to release the results of our 2024 survey pretty soon. And I can tell you that we've done that survey now for, I think, 6 years, and it has always come back somewhere between 48 and 52% of the hospitals that allow their employed physicians to invest. It's always right about 50-50. So I just want people to know that, and because there are some health systems out there that tell the physicians they can't invest, and I can tell you they can, and they are in about 50% of the health systems out there. We've seen, and some of you have probably seen this, where competitive physicians, physicians that have a competitive practice, they can all be in the same ASC. It requires some interesting scheduling for you, but as opposed to giving every doctor their own ASC, to put all the like specialties together in an ASC tends to work well. And most of you probably are very aware of this, which is the hospital cannot gift anything to an ASC that has physician ownership. It must, any service the hospital provides must be provided at fair market value. This is something that's, we spend a lot of time explaining both to the hospitals and to the doctors about the fact that even though this has been a hospital HOPD and you're now turning it into an ASC that's going to have physician ownership, if the hospital's going to continue doing the housekeeping, the hospital's going to have to charge for the housekeeping. And it's going to have to, it can charge more than fair market value, it can't charge less than fair market value. So we just have to be very careful with that. We're actually seeing some health systems right now getting into some trouble about this. So this is the analogy, that the slide that we've used a lot is that this is how we kind of explain an ASC. I mean, an ASC, you should be able to change a form, decide at 8 a.m. this form isn't working for us, and have a new form in place after lunch. I don't think it happens like that in the health system, at least when I used to work in a health system. There were, you know, 15 committees that had to go through and whatever, and everybody got their hands on it, whatever. You know, that's not how it works in a surgery center. So this is where you really have to be careful converting an HOPD to an ASC, is that you learn that different culture and the fact that things have to move quickly. Okay, common mistakes, which is, I think, what most of you, if you came to this session, this is really what you want to hear. What doesn't work? And if some of you have done this and you want to jump in here, feel free. But the facility conversion is too costly or time consuming. Okay, we're going to, the slide after this, we're going to give you, do you all have the slides? That's what I couldn't find. Okay, then hang on to it, because I was supposed to bring handouts. The handouts were 65 pages each. I figured the trees needed to live, so I did not print them. I'm giving you the link to where you can get the handouts, because I don't think any of you want to cart back 65 pages. But most people think, and even architects and even facility people that work in healthcare think this, which is, if it's been a hospital outpatient department and that takes care of sick patients and that's been licensed as a hospital, then of course that can become an ASC, because ASCs take care of healthy people and they get billed in strip malls all the time. So it has things we don't need, but it can be converted. That is not the case. It has to meet the ASC life safety guidelines, which are not the same as the hospital life safety guidelines. So we have to be very careful. So having an ASC life safe, very first thing to do if you're going to convert HOPD, we tell people this, like, don't even hire us, just bring in this person or these people we recommend and have them do a walk through the building, look at your engineering plans and see, can it even be converted? Because I have I can't tell you the number of people who have gone down the road, told their doctors, you're going to get to invest in this, it's going to be an ASC, and then it turns out the building can't be converted. And so they have to start over again. So can it be converted? Can the caseload that you have financially modeled be accommodated in that building? And is the lease amount, what you're going to have to pay if the hospital is the owner of the building, what are they going to lease that space back to the ASC for? You need to get those three things have to be determined prior to even announcing that you're even thinking of doing this. It all comes down to the facility. The next bullet we just talked about, just because it has the initials ASC on it doesn't mean it's low cost. Always continue to upgrade the financial projections, keeping this timeline very conservative to take into account the renovations and the regulatory. The regulatory issues are the same for a conversion from an HOPD as they are if it was de novo. You're gonna have to go through all the same surveys. It's even if it's already been Joint Commission surveyed as a hospital outpatient department, that doesn't matter. It's gonna have to go through everything, new 855, everything. And making sure that you involve you do not involve unnecessary stakeholders. And I'm gonna tell you who those are. Those are the middle management people in the health, like the head of IT, materials management. You may not even be using materials management at the hospital, so don't necessarily be bringing all those people to the table unless you're absolutely sure you're going to be using the hospital services. So this is the slide that I want to make sure that everybody leaves here with this information. These are the life safety regs that an ASC has to follow. And if your health system is considering converting an HOPD, I would be absolutely sure that your facility people know that this is what you have to follow. I can't tell you the number of facility vice presidents who just assume they know this. They don't be unless they've worked in the ASC space. And this, by the way, is up on those of you who are members of ASCA. The ASCA website has these available for you. So this is what I was just talking about a minute ago. If the ASC is meant to be lower cost, is the health system going to reduce the unnecessary resources in the process? And this is a hard question to ask, but it's the one question that we do see the more progressive health systems, they're now looking at this. They're saying, if we don't need all that staff, if we don't need all that equipment, if we don't need all that IT infrastructure, are we just gonna absorb it, or are we going to do without and make this actually a chance to be a little leaner? And I'm not saying, and I know this is probably not the right, the most popular thing to bring up in a conference such as this, but I just want to say this is the big question that people need to be asking. Because if all that staff is just going to continue to be reabsorbed, you're not going to end up having a profitable outpatient surgical operation. These are the last ones that I wanted to bring up, which was making sure that the hospital and physician leaders are dedicated to making the ASC a priority. The ASC should not be seen as being competitive to the hospital. It should be seen as an extension of surgical services. You go all the way from from your very, very acute, you know, 12-hour heart and neuro cases all the way to your knee scopes. And you should have all of those things being performed in the appropriate setting. And as outpatient surgery is growing to be, you know, 75 and 80% of the surgical services of a lot of health systems now, to not have a lower cost place to do those cases really doesn't make any sense. Listening to all the stakeholders who can impact the success. And this, by the way, physician office staff are some of the biggest people. The physician schedulers, the surgical schedulers, are people that we really listen to very, very closely about what they need, what their doctors and their surgeons need. Hiring the ASC experience administrator in advance of opening. We require, according to our contracts, that people have an ASC administrator identified 6 months prior to certificate of occupancy, because it takes that long to, one, to find somebody good, and two, to have them, if they've never worked in an ASC, have them trained, and then to have them really knowledgeable enough to go through, even if they have years of healthcare experience, to go through the ASC regulatory surveys. ASC payer negotiations need to be considered part of the overall health system's system-wide healthcare, system-wide payer strategy. We have really seen too many places that are doing their ASC contracting, payer contracting, kind of in a vacuum, and it really should be considered part of the overall strategy for the health system. If all of your, or a lot of your total joints are going outpatient and are going into the ASC, then maybe there's some wiggle room with the cases, the total joints that are still being done in the hospital. I mean, I'm just saying, we've seen all kinds of interesting chess games going on with payers, and health systems, sometimes if the payer contracting people don't realize that this is going to be the future, this is where everything is going, they will give it sort of short shift when it's time to do the payer contracting. So you really want, even if it's an ASC specific payer contracting group that you're using, which there are plenty of those out there that you can engage, they should be working hand in hand with the hospital payer contracting people. You do need to leverage the hospital's relationships, but also remember many vendors, and the vendors that are here will probably agree with me on this, they have an ASC price list, they have a health system price list. So just because you're getting a really good deal from the health system price list doesn't mean you're getting as good a deal as you would get if you were negotiating as an ASC. So keep that in mind. And then outsourcing services to reduce costs and to keep the internal management responsibilities kind of low. I'm joking when I say your IT is done by Geek Squad, but that's really true. But there are ASCs out there whose IT is being totally supported through Geek Squad or something similar. So you can definitely find vendors, just as if you were any small business out there that needs some certain services, shop them. If the hospital can give you as good a price, then yes, the hospital can be the provider of those services. There's nothing, as long as there's a written agreement and the fee being paid is at least fair market value. Most hospitals that we've worked with cannot provide many services for fair market value. They have to charge more because their overhead is so much more. And so it's one of the reasons when we were talking about the first bullet about dedication for the hospital leaders to making the ASC a priority and to making the ASC a success, that includes saying, our housekeeping shouldn't do your housekeeping. You should go out and get an outside housekeeping service because we can't do it cheap enough. So that's it. Anybody have any questions or comments or concerns about converting an ASC to an HOPD? Who's ready for the pool party? Yes, ma'am.
Let me get you on the mic.
Thank you. Can you explain how capital acquisition would work with this model for an HOPD that would convert to an ASC?
Are you talking about the capital of the equipment that's already in the HOPD?
Yeah, so for example, you know, we are a large enterprise, so all of our capital is, you know, evaluated at the enterprise level. So even for, say, like a replacement equipment that's already placed, when that time comes and it needs to be replaced again, how would that work in this arena?
So if I'm following you right, so if there's equipment in the ASC, in the HOPD right now, it would get valued by an outside valuation company. You'd get a valuation. The ASC would buy that equipment. It would then come off of the hospital's inventory, and it would be owned now by the ASC, and then the ASC would handle that.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
I don't know if this is a silly question, but I just can't compute in my head. Isn't it the definition that if you have a hospital has full ownership of the outpatient, that's automatically an HOPD? So how can a hospital own an ASC?
No. If the hospital had, wait a minute, the hospital, say it again.
Full ownership. There is no partners.
The hospital's going to own it. And we've done this. The hospital owns it 100%, but they want to change the licensing and the CMS accreditation to being an ASC.
And they can do that even if the location is nearby.
Even if the location, say it one more time.
Even if the ASC's location is nearby, the hospital, the main building.
It can be in the hospital.
It can
yes.
be in the hospital.
If it meets that those requirements that I said, copy that page. Mm-hmm. So we did one recently that was in the basement of a hospital. It was. They actually went in. It was like six ORs, pre and post. It had a few other. And we literally had to draw this weird line where these ORs are going to stay with the hospital, these ORs are going to come to the ASC, these PACU beds go to the ASC, those PACU beds stay there. And we were able to draw the line. They had to build up some new firewalls to partition certain places out. They had to make sure they had doors in certain places. They didn't have doors. But we were able to cut out the basement of the hospital to be an ASC. Is that what you're talking about?
And they did that as doing it as an LLC?
They did it. It was going to be 100%. It was starting out as 100% physician-owned, but then it was going to be joint-ventured with physicians. But the main thing was it had to meet joint commission. They wanted this to be surveyed as an ASC under joint commission. So it was a real feat of engineering to draw those lines, because we had to make sure we had everything we needed within the walls of the ASC. But they were able to pull it off, and it's licensed, and now it's been joint ventured. Question over there? Yeah.
So I work for a hospital now, and we don't have an ASC. I know they're thinking of it. What besides equipment, I understand that, fair market value, are there any shared services, or is the ASC completely its own entity from an HR standpoint, from an everything, or are there some services that are allowed to be shared?
Almost all the services can be shared if there's a written agreement. So let's just say HR. HR, so the employees could either be employees of the ASC, or they could be employees of the hospital leased to the ASC. there's some real problematic things about that, and it has to do mainly with the benefits and the expense involved. And so you've now overpriced probably your employees, or probably way too expensive for the reimbursements you're going to get. But we've had hospitals that have, I don't know, 15, 20 services listed in their professional services agreement that they are paying the hospital to provide those services for them. But, you know, it's kind of a per click or a per monthly. I'm paying the hospital to come in and do housekeeping. I'm paying the hospital. I have to have a service agreement with the hospital for that. I have to have the price at fair market value or higher, not lower, but I don't want it higher if I'm the ASC. And so, yes, you can have some services, but for the most part, you want to shop them out and then come back to the hospital and say, I can buy this on the outside for X. If you want to do it, then we'll give you the contract, but you have to do it for what we just got a bid for. Does that make sense? And Crystal, I don't mean to point a finger at you, but I know she's done this. Do y'all buy a lot of those services from the hospital, right?
We do. X-ray services come over from the main to do our total joints, facilities, maintenance, some of those items. IT was a lot cheaper to do through the hospital.
Yeah. Yes, Pam.
We're a hospital outpatient department, but we're 5 miles from the hospital. Are you seeing that they're starting to change regulation that you have to be either on campus or so many miles away? Is that coming, or is it already there and we just haven't quite converted yet, or?
Wait a minute, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble. It's my ears, it's not your voice. Say one more time. You're 5 miles from the hospital.
Yeah, we initially were a joint venture with them, and then they bought the operation, so we became an outpatient hospital department. But we're 5 miles, and so I know there's a lot of discussions out there that you need to be closer or on campus to actually still maintain a hospital outpatient department versus converting back to an ASC. Is that where the regulations are going?
The regulations right now, I'm not going to quote them. There's a mile. You can be a certain number of miles away from the hospital and still be. Did you raise your hand? Somebody back there? Oh, certain miles from the hospital. It's not changing as far as I am aware of. But right now, if you read the provider-based statute of what it requires to be provider-based, it will tell you exactly how many miles away you can be from the mothership of the hospital. And one is if you're considered a rural hospital, the other is if you're not a rural hospital. I mean, there's some other kind of things in there, but read that provider-based requirements, and they will give you exactly what they are. Yes, sir.
What would be the benefit of a hospital converting its HOPD that gets paid more to its own owned freestanding ASC? That they are not sharing with the physicians. I mean, I can see how selling shares to physicians gets buy-in, you get docs who want to work at your place, it's a competitive advantage. Is anybody converting this to an ASC and not selling shares?
Yes. And
why?
The reason they're doing it is because of payer contracts. Because in some areas of the country, and some of you may be at the one example that I always use because it's the most prevalent, which is there are a lot of payers out there that will no longer pay for routine colonoscopies if they are not done in a licensed ASC. So there are hospitals that in order for either value-based, they have value-based contracts, and they will get points for doing the cases in a lower cost environment. They are keeping them 100%. Hospital owned, and then the ones where in the markets where the payers are really coming down hard on the fact of why should we pay a hospital rate for this case. So in order to not lose the cases totally and to keep the physicians happy, whether the physicians are investors or not, the hospitals are converting their HOPDs to ASCs. It doesn't make sense logically, but that's why.
Is that a regional thing? We're up in the Northwest, and I don't know if we have that, if that's the way it is where we are.
In the North, I'm just trying to think of Northwest. I've not seen it as much there. It's big in California, Texas, and Florida, where there are ASCs on every corner. In the markets where ASC, the non-CON states, where there have been ASCs built, and they've been able to show the payers, you know, we can do these total joints for half the price. That it's mainly in the states that have been non-CON for so long.
Thank you.
And it's one of the reasons why we say that every hospital should have at least one ASC, because when the payers come knocking, and if that's when you decide you're going to start doing this planning, you probably have a 2 or 3 year lead time. So might as well have one that you're just doing your smaller cases in. Yeah.
Sorry, I have another question. Can you explain if you have an HOPD and you're converting it to an ASC, obviously you need to find ways to lean down your equipment, supplies, staff. How does that go from a culture standpoint with your surgeons who are used to expecting a certain level of accessibility for all of those things?
If they're an owner, a lot of times they don't care. I'll be very honest. But yes, I mean, that's one of the reasons why. I mean, we it's interesting. We have just this, like in the last couple of months, we've opened two ASCs that are both joint ventures. And one, the physicians are insisting that they have robots. And the other one, the physicians are saying there's no way we'll let any doctor have privileges if they need a robot. So, it really does depend on your surgeons. And what we have done on things like the robotics is a big one now, because it is so expensive and it's so new to the ASC space. I mean, I know y'all had a session on that, but it's still reasonably new to the ASC space because they're so expensive. That's usually a question we ask right off the bat when we're doing financial projections, which is, are you anticipating robotics being done here? Because it'll blow the pro forma. Just so everybody's aware, you don't get paid any more in an ASC for having a robot than you would if you didn't have the robot. So, well, I'll be here for just a few minutes. If you've got my number here, please feel free to reach out. Thank you guys so much.
Join me in thanking Joan with one more round of applause. Thank you so much for staying.